Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we meet two classical pianists who are among the young preeminent classical musicians in their respective homelands, Israel and Palestine. Israeli pianist Yaron Kohlberg and Arab pianist Bishar Aharoni came together to play a concert for peace in Oslo, Norway, back in 2008. Shortly thereafter, the two came together to form a permanent partnership, the piano duo Duo Amal, a group dedicated towards showing that music making can transcend political differences. Since then, Duo Amal have performed across Europe, the United States, Asia, and the Far East. Both have outstanding solo careers as well. Yaron Kohlberg is a prize winner in the Cleveland International Piano Competition and won the Shostakovich Competition and the Parnassos International Competition, and has performed with major orchestras throughout Europe and the major orchestras in Israel, including the Israel Philharmonic. Bishar Aharoni has also performed with the Israel Philharmonic and has had an active solo and chamber music schedule, including chamber music with the principals of the Berlin Philharmonic and appearances at the Salzburg Festival and the BBC Proms. Korgus Productions presents Duo Amal, originally scheduled a week ago, but due to visa problems, that concert has been rescheduled to this evening at 7 o'clock at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Yaron Kohlberg and Bishar Aharoni are my guests today. Bishar and Yaron, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Give us a sense of how Duo Amal came together. It came together about, what, 6 years ago, or maybe even a little longer now, in a concert situation. How did you guys meet each other and begin working together?
Well, we met together as teenagers in the Jerusalem Academy. We didn't know each other so well then, but of course we knew each other as pianists. Back in 2008, I was invited to play a concert with a message of peace in Oslo, Norway, in the Oslo New Opera House. And the organizer there asked me if I have any idea of something that could fit the concert. And then I had Bishar. I remembered him as a great pianist, and I had an idea to invite him to play with me in this concert. So I just wrote him an email, and he gladly agreed to come. And then we felt a very nice connection. We played some more concerts throughout the years, and then in 2011, I moved to Berlin, where Bishar was living, and then we really started the duo.
Mm. What was your reaction when you got this email out of the blue, say, hey, come up to Oslo and play a duo concert? I assume most time, pianists, you're so busy on working on your own repertoire and your own, you know, the concertos, the solo piano pieces. The duo thing is sort of, I would think, sort of like a left turn of some sort.
We both love chamber music. It's kind of chamber music, and in that same point of life for both of us, like, we had kind of enough of solo music because it's a lot of work and traveling alone and doing everything alone by yourself. And when we did it first time together, we had lots of fun beside the special connection in the chamber music, which is not always so easy to find someone to play with him and understand each other, and it worked out very well. So, well, when I got the email, it was like, I get sometimes invitation. It was another invitation. I considered it, and I said yes.
Now, when you guys actually began to put together the pieces you're going to play, did you know immediately you had something special between you, or was it a matter of a time of figuring out that this was going to be something special beyond just a one-off concert or a couple of concerts?
It was a really special thing because we had like 3 days to prepare for that concert, like for an hour and a half, and it worked out really, really well. Like, usually good musicians come together and work hard, but it's like you get to professional standard, but this is above professional standard. It was understanding standard. I can't really use the right words to describe it. It was a really great harmony.
You know, if you can maybe elaborate, Yaron, he's right. There's a performance standard. There's a professional standard where, you know, you're making music, but there's something about a special, when a group has a sort of special connection, no words exchange, but you instinctively know what the other people are playing, right?
Exactly. So I think Bishar described it right. I mean, I really remember our first rehearsal together. I remember that even we had a very short time to prepare the pieces. I, you know, even thought it might be too short time to prepare. And then we just came to the first rehearsal. I remember us just playing together, and it was so easy. It was so natural. to play. Of course, later we had to work on a lot of aspects on our playing in order to become a better duo. But, you know, you always have to continue and develop. But the immediate connection was really there, and we knew that it wouldn't be the last time that we're going to play.
Hey, Bashar, you mentioned it's chamber music in a way, but is a duo piano group a little different than your traditional chamber music group, say like a piano trio or a piano quartet? Is there a different aesthetic involved or a different?
Yes, absolutely. There's a big difference. For example, playing with a violin is something that already has its balance. There are two instruments, and each instrument is taking some kind of part. How do you say it? Like,
each instrument might have its time to lead.
Like playing a violin sonata is like there's the lead of the violin and the piano is accompanying, and then it might be the opposite also. And in two pianos, there are so many aspects that we are not used to it, which is like balance and pedaling, for example, and phrasing. Each one has his own sound, his own articulation that you have to fix really for all the details in each phrase and each bar.
Yeah, and is it the same for you, Yaron, as far as the difference between a traditional chamber music setting with strings or winds in piano as opposed to two pianos?
Yes, very much. I mean, I think that in order to play, as Bashara said, because we're basically playing the same instrument. So, I mean, it could be two different instruments, but it's the same. I mean, both are piano. And of course, when we play four hands, I mean, we have to know exactly what we're doing in terms of, you know, being together, in terms of sound, in terms of playing together, you know, like just hitting the keys at the same time and just placing the pedal. There are a lot of problems that you don't get to face, when you play with a violin or cello or any other instrument.
Now, that's one thing you guys do. You do duo pianos, but you also do piano four hands.
Yeah.
Do you guys switch off being the lead player in the piano four hands? Because a lot of when I think of piano four hand arrangements, I mean, generally there's sort of the dominant player, and maybe not always the case, but some pieces, it's like there'll be one set of hands are the more dominant based on the keyboard. You know, you're playing, one side's playing the bass and one's playing the treble.
Yes, that's true. But I would say, I mean, the parts are as important. I wouldn't say that one part is more important than the other. When we choose, you know, which role to play, we just try out actually first both parts. You know, we switch and then we just feel what we're more comfortable with, what feels more right to us, and then we choose who plays what part.
Yeah. Now, when you began working together, what were some of the first pieces you played on that first concert? Do you remember?
Yes, Schubert Fantasy is. We are going to play it. We played Scaramouche.
Scaramouche by Mio.
Mm-hmm.
Played César Franck.
César Franck.
Yeah. Prelude, Fugue, and
Prelude, Fugue, yeah. and Variation.
Variation, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was long ago, so.
Yes, we didn't play this piece since, actually, I think.
Yeah. Well, before we talk more, why don't we hear a little bit of the fantasy piece by Schubert, since you're going to be performing that tonight. My guests today are Duo Amal, Yaron Kohlberg, and Bashar Haroni, who are classical pianists, one from Israel, one from Palestine, and they'll be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, presented by Corgus Production. Here's music, them playing the Schubert.
Thank you.
music performed by my guest today, Yaron Kohlberg and Bashar Haroni, duo Amal, who will be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. After that initial concert in Oslo, I guess you did a few concerts. When did you realize this was going to be, hey, this is a, we can do this and decide to devote a lot of energy to duo piano playing?
Actually, I think it took Bshara a little shorter time than me to, because we were planning to do this for quite a long time. We knew that it was something we were going to do, but for me, I was still living in Israel, you know, with a girlfriend I had at the time, so it was a little bit hard to make the move to Berlin. It was a big move for me. So after some concerts that we played together at 2011, I finally moved to Berlin, and then we really started working.
So when you began saying, okay, we're going to make this a going concern, how often were you working together? How often you were rehearsing together? Because I assume you're trying to get to this sort of very sympathetic level where you could work up material to the point where when you do have your separate projects, you can come together for a concert and get to that level that you need to be for performing very, very quickly. Give us a sense of how much time you devoted to it when you actually came together in Berlin.
We devoted a lot of time. I mean, we worked many hours every day together, and also separately, but mainly together, to build up the ensemble in a level that we both are very much satisfied. Of course, each one has his own vision and opinion about everything, so it was kind of a masterclass for each of us every rehearsal. And this is the easiest part, because the hardest part is everything around that. I mean, being a true friend is a lot of work. It's a lot of talking and solving problems and talking again. And because we both felt that we cannot work together if we are not real friends, it's very important to be honest about that as well.
Just the fact that I don't want to bring too much politics into it, but the fact that you're Israeli, you're Palestinian, does this make a difference in that friendship factor?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I mean, when we were working, I mean, it was always about, for us, it was never about these things. I mean, for us, it was always, about us as two people, And when we had to solve issues and we spoke through a lot of problems that we had, it all had to do with our personalities and music and, but not with these issues. I mean, of course, we shared, some of our background, but I don't think that was the main thing that we had to deal with.
Yeah. It was a matter of just coming to an understanding, knowing where the other person's coming from. And I would assume you have each have your own musical personalities. Are there various composers and things that you feel more at home with one than another?
Yeah, it's related to the question of the four hands who takes the lead. For example, classical music, I usually take the lead, and romantic music, he takes the lead, because we felt both that classical music, I'm more comfortable with it, and romantic music, he's more comfortable. For example, classical is Mozart, and romantic is Rachmaninoff. Things like that. So, again, it's not like we both love Mozart and Rachmaninoff, and we both could play the first part or second part. The thing is about the ensemble to sound as good as possible as we can. So this is the most important thing.
I'd imagine that took a bit of discussion to figure out, okay, who's going to take the lead when on what pieces, right?
that was some discussion.
Well, I imagine you both were solo pianists before, and so it's like, that sort of course comes with the territory, doesn't it?
Well, at the beginning, it was more of an issue, because we were really maybe thinking also more a soloist, but after some, a while that we've been working together, now it takes us two seconds to know who plays what part.
Yeah.
It's very easy, because we know each other already very well, and we know what makes us sound the best. So
now, when we think of repertoire for two pianos, I can think of a few concertos, the Poulenc, there's a Mozart concerto for two pianos. I believe there's the Sons of Bach that have a two, one of the, I can't.
Yes, there is Mendelssohn.
There's Mendelssohn, too.
Yes,
yeah. So there's quite a bit of material. And when I think of solo material, I the Rachmaninoff Suite is a big piece. Debussy wrote quite a bit of forehand piano. Fauré did too. Yes. But figuring out what sort of material works for you, was that a big discussion area as far as what sort of forehand material you're going to work on?
Yes, we explored it quite a lot. I mean, actually, first of all, we play mostly two pianos, not as much four hands. I mean, we do play four hands also, but we prefer in a way two pianos. So we were pretty surprised to find out. I mean, of course, there are the famous pieces that some of them you mentioned, but actually, we were surprised to find out that there are more pieces written for two pianos than what we thought. And in addition to that, we also had pieces written for us and some transcriptions we made. So actually, the variety is quite big.
Yeah. What were some of the surprises for you when you actually began researching this repertoire?
As good as the solo pieces. There are some masterpieces. For example, Fantasy of Schubert is a masterpiece. Rachmaninoff Suite is... I think it's actually it's one of his best compositions in my taste, and Mozart Sonata is for two pianos, for example. It's none of the solo sonatas are better than. So I think the quality of the pieces actually surprised me personally.
Mm-hmm. And I would think when you're so concentrating on a solo career, all of a sudden this is probably material you might have seen at certain points, but it's not something you really spend a lot of time with, is it, before coming together as a duo pianist?
Yes, we weren't really exposed to this kind of, I mean, we did play maybe for fun, or maybe we had some concert before playing two pianos, but it was never in that level of really going into that in such a deep, profound level. So, of course, when we started exploring that, we found out a lot of things.
Now, you guys went to school at roughly the same point in Jerusalem, is that correct?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, but you, it's like, you know, he's down the hall in the practice room down there. Was that sort of situation? Were you friendly at the time, or did you actually play duets prior to coming together?
No, actually, we never got this chance.
The way you're looking at each other, you might have been like competitors for your teacher's attention, maybe.
Maybe, yes. And yeah. At that time, we were very competitors, not towards each other, but as
young students trying to make a mark.
We both practiced a lot of hours and spent time with the piano more than any other person.
That's the way it goes, doesn't it? Well, when you got serious about performing together as a duo... was it difficult to get dates at the beginning? Because it's still, you know, you don't see that many duo pianists working around the country. Maybe a few. Most of the time, they're relatives of some sort, sisters or brothers or something like that. Was it difficult to get started as duo pianists?
Well, of course, getting the dates is just a part of the things that we had to go through. I mean, the dates came along as time came along. I mean, we had a manager in Germany that we started off with, and then... we got a management in the U.S., so then they started coming. Maybe not from the beginning, but we anyway needed this time to really build a duo before we were able to really go out on stage and start performing a lot together.
Now, you guys lived in the same city, lived very close together, and sort of worked very seriously on the duo. Now you're half a continent away from each other. Are both working on solo projects in addition to duo Amal, or is this really the main focal point for your performing?
It is the main thing that we are doing, duo Amal. That's what we love. It's the thing that we are now in distance. It's just, I think, a matter of time, and it will change again. It's just a phase, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But this is the main thing we are doing.
Yeah. And for you, Yaron?
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, for us, because what we built back in Berlin is very strong, both personally, first of all, personally, and then also on the professional level. I think we worked so hard through so many things, and of course about the playing, that nowadays we can very easily pick up the repertoire. Any repertoire will have quite a lot of programs, and we are now doing, you know, in China and in Barcelona, we are planning projects that have to also do with the duo, and that we plan to reconnect again, even in terms of living in the same place in the near future.
Now, one of the things you did was you both commissioned composers to write a piece for you. Can you describe the pieces you commissioned?
Yeah, well, the Amal piece by Samir is a very abstract piece. He's a painter besides being composition and a composer.
Composer.
Composer, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
And he write the music in colors more than in specific notes. So his pieces are more about atmosphere and colors. And
is it traditionally notated when you say he's writing more about colors?
Yes, okay. It is. But many, for example, he uses the X note, that which means that you can play any note you want.
Right. Okay.
So it's a very modern piece.
And what about the one you had commissioned for the group?
Commissioned both, but this piece by Abner Dorman, it's very jazzy. It's called Karsilama, which is a Turkish dance. It has like some oriental touch in it. It's very rhythmical, pretty short, very effective, virtuosic. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of it's a fun piece to listen to.
You know, when I think of duo pianists, I really think of that, the years of the salon, you know, where people gathered and they might have two pianos and composers were writing for them. Are many contemporary composers writing for two pianos today?
Yes, I mean, there are quite a few composers writing for two pianos.
Uh-huh.
But I guess that a large part of it is commission-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that something you were interested in doing as you continue to perform?
You mean to compose ourselves?
Or? No, or to commission.
To commission. Well, we are thinking in all sort of directions, but one of the things that we are very interested in is having our transcriptions of different kinds of music written for two pianos. And we're planning to build a program built off transcriptions made especially for us. We have already one or two people that already wrote us a couple of transcriptions, and we look forward to building a program around that.
And what's when you're transcribing things, what sort of things? Is it traditional repertoire, or is it – I know you did a concert recently where you were doing one of the Beethoven symphonies for two pianos. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't commissioned, but
– Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Liszt did some transcriptions. I think it's for one piano, or did he do some for two?
For one piano.
And two.
He did many transcriptions, especially Beethoven and also Mozart. He did Requiem, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not – for example, we are playing the Prokofiev Symphony, classical symphony, transcribed by Rikuo Terashima. He's Japanese. It wasn't written for us, but we called him and asked him if we can use it, and he said he was very nice. So we are using that. But what Yaron was talking about is more like pieces that are not originally written for two pianos, and we would like to have them in two pianos. It can be also a song, like a folk song of Hebrew or Arabic. It can be... could be classical piece, it could be a song, it could be many things. We are thinking about it. We have already some things transcribed. For example, I thought about song. We had a song transcribed.
So. Now, have you guys tried your hand at actually doing transcriptions and writing for the duo, or is performing enough?
It's a lot of work already.
Yeah, so we wrote one or two pieces, like transcribed a little bit, made some things, but in principle we prefer to focus on the playing and have people who, you know, transcribe, who maybe do it better than us.
Now you're going to do the Schubert fantasy piece, the Prokofiev Classical Symphony. What else is on the program tonight?
Dorman and Samir, the commission pieces, and Rachmaninoff Suite.
Ah, the Rachmaninoff Suite.
And the encore pieces.
Well, we're very glad you guys finally made it over the States. We should mention that this concert was originally scheduled for a week ago, but you had visa problems getting in. And that is something that is changed. You know, performers routinely got into the United States pretty easy. I guess it can be kind of difficult at times to get into the United States, you know, with a visa like that.
Yes, I mean, it's nowadays they keep changing rules there. And of course, we had a longer-term visa. Now we were supposed to only apply for a visa for the short term, and we got it in the very last moment.
Mm.
But gladly, we got it. I mean, now we actually read and heard that a lot of artists have this problem of applying for visas and getting them in the last moment. But gladly, we made it, and gladly the concert organizers were able to reschedule the concert for 1 week later, so we're very happy we finally made it to Tulsa.
Well, we're glad you made it here, and we look forward to the results tonight at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Duo Amal performing, And we're going to leave folks with a little bit of your playing on the Rachmaninoff. So, gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yoram Kohlberg and Bishara Haroni are the principals of Duo Amal. Korgas Production presents Duo Amal tonight at 7 o'clock at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, performing music by Schubert, as well as the music we're hearing now by Rachmaninoff. For more information on the concert, visit tulsapac.com. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Connie Cronley.
We're friends, right? Close friends. So I want to tell you something confidential. Call it vanity, if you will, but I never thought I would have to buy love, especially mail order love. But I did. I put in the mail order, it arrived, and I love it. I have fallen in love with worms. Earthworms, specifically red wigglers and European nightcrawlers for my compost containers. My father would be horrified. When we went fishing, he's the one who taught me to thread a big juicy worm on a hook. Buying worms? My mother would be horrified. She's the one who taught me how to flip over cow patties for little worms and fish for perch in a farm pond. My late father and mother would both be abashed to know that I am buying worms. They would wonder if I have become so cityfied I've lost my small-town roots. I would answer, not exactly cityfied, but the worm knowledge seems to have faded out of me. So I buy books about worms, and I buy worms by mail order. And yet, as with any love affair, this one turned out to be disappointing in the end. When the package arrived, they didn't look like worms. They were so dehydrated, they looked like part of the peat moss they were packed in. The instructions said not to worry. This was normal, and they would plump up. But by then, the worms will be buried so deeply, I won't see them. Maybe it's true. Maybe you can't buy love. I'm not giving up. I think I'll mail order a package of ladybugs.
Connie Cronley is a columnist for Tulsa People and the executive director of the Iron Gate Soup Kitchen and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.